Today we want to unpack a very critical part in our sermon series entitled The Essentials of Worship, and that is the Holy Spirit in Christian life and worship. That is the Holy Spirit in Christian living and worship. I want you to journey with me and ask that you journey with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Again, Acts chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Now, many of you may recall a time when there was no electricity, where there was no power. And I can only imagine, because I didn't live during this time, I can only imagine that life without electricity was very different than it is today. Many of you may recall having to use the wood heaters in your own home and even the wood heater to heat up the church on Sunday morning. Many of you may even remember oil lamps. You couldn't go over to the light switch and flip on the light. You didn't have the lamp that you plug into the wall and you could just turn on with a flip of a switch, but you had oil lamps. You had to light it. You had to strike a match. Some of you may remember a time where you had to use batteries in the radio. That you couldn't just go and plug up a radio. You couldn't do what you normally do today with a radio. You didn't have MacBooks and all the things that we have now technology-wise, and so you had to use batteries for the radio. We didn't have TV, so you couldn't watch the news, and you have to listen to whatever's going on the radio. You got to use the batteries with, or send letters, or read the paper. My grandfather was telling me all the things they had to do, and one of the things that they had to do was they had to go down to the pond to wash the cars. Had to wash the cars and the clothes in the pond. Didn't have a telephone, so all the gossip that goes on Sunday afternoon, you couldn't talk about it on the telephone, so you would have to either walk to where you needed to go, or you would have to send a letter or send somebody else to say it for you. But times without power and electricity were significantly different than they were, or than they are, rather, today. And so when electricity came onto the scene, it changed the way that we live life. You no longer had to light the oil lamp unless you just chose to do that. But you can plug in a light, you can hook up some wires, and you can connect some electricity to your home. So now you have power in your home. You no longer had to go down to the pond to wash the car because now you have running water in the water hose. You can wash it as many as you want. You can even drive it through a car wash that has motorized towels and everything that will do it for you. Times have changed significantly, and with power, things can be experienced in our everyday life in such a different way. For Christians and Christianity, the Holy Spirit provides us with power that is able to take the routine out of Christianity and to give us an even greater experience of God. Christianity, my friends, apart from power, from the power of the Holy Spirit, I will go on record to say is merely a routine religion. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in Christianity and involved in the life of the believer, our experience of God is very limited. We can even say that without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is just another organized religion in which we come and we do routine and we do religious stuff and we don't experience anything differently. We don't experience anything fresh. We don't experience a new move of God because we don't have the experience of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit in Christian worship and the Holy Spirit in Christian life is so important. And the Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not a personality. The Holy Spirit is a person. Trinitarian doctrine would tell us that God is three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each are equally as important to the Christian faith. Friends, you cannot experience the power and the presence of God merely from God the Father without experiencing Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. It just can't happen. And for believers who seek a relationship with God apart from the Holy Spirit, not only do we ourselves an injustice because we don't seek out the full extent of the experience of God, but we do the idea and we do the reality of the Holy Spirit or the three persons in one an injustice. Because God has offered us these three great persons who are wrapped up into one unique God so that we can have the full extent of the experience of God. Acts chapter 4 presents us with a very unique passage in Scripture that shows how the Holy Spirit is at work. It's after the resurrection that Luke writes Acts chapter 4. Now you understand, and we noted this several weeks ago, that after the resurrection, there were certain things that were going on in this Christian community. That when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a power that began to sweep across boundaries, that began to change people's lives, that began to change people's communities, literally in an instant. And so we see that after the resurrection, the disciples and the apostles of God are preaching the word like never before. They've got this awesome power that they are having this boldness to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ like they've never done before. In Acts chapter 1, we see that Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 2, which we will talk about in the coming weeks, about Pentecost, where they were in one place, and the Spirit of God came upon the disciples, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In Acts chapter 3, we see that Peter and John do something so awesome and so amazing as they heal a lame man who had been lame for 40 long years. The man was crippled for 40 long years. And Peter and John come and they offer him the hand in the name of Jesus Christ, and the man is healed. In Acts chapter 4, in our text today, we see Peter and John in the temple speaking to the people. It says in verse 1, The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Then they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Now watch what happens the very next day. Verse 5. The next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. This is kind of like a Supreme Court. See, at first it was just the priest and their bodyguard who came up and tried to check Peter and John. And so then they put Peter and John in jail. And 5,000 people came to know Jesus, even though they were in jail. And so the next day, they said, we've got to make this a little stronger. So they bring the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law into Jerusalem. They call in the Supreme Court. This is a very serious issue. This is something serious. Watch what happens. They had Peter and John, verse 7, they had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them, as one would do in a court of law. They asked, by what power or what name do you do this? Peter gives a very interesting response in verse 8. He says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter could not say or give the answer aside from God's Spirit being with him, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel. I love this part. He says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is a stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Wow. Monumental statement to the Supreme Court of the temple by what the Bible would call an uneducated, ordinary man by by the name of Peter. Peter says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ that I come and speak to you. It is by the name of Jesus Christ that 5,000 people have come to Christ, even though me and my boy John are in jail. It is by the name of Jesus Christ that all these things are happening. Watch their reaction in verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Hold on to that statement. Verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say. Watch what happened. Look at what happens. The Bible tells us that Peter and John, after they had healed this lame man who had been at the gate for 40 years, they were in the temple. People had seen this lame man sitting there for 40 long years. They knew who he was. They knew their family. They knew his background. They knew how long he was sitting there. They probably knew how much money they had or had not given him on their way into the church. And so when Peter and John heal this guy, he is now standing with them in the temple. The priests come and they say, y'all can't be talking about Jesus Christ in the temple because too many folks are coming to him. And so in order to stop it expeditiously, they put Peter and John in jail. When they put Peter and John in jail, 5,000 people come. The next day they bring the Supreme Court to the temple, thinking that they are going to scare Peter and John. The Bible tells us that Peter, who is now filled with the Holy Spirit, tells them it is by the name of Jesus Christ that all of these things are happening. Their reaction is when they saw the courage of Peter and John, when they saw the courage of these ordinary, unschooled men who were speaking by the divine power of the Holy Spirit, they could not say anything. They could not utter a word. They could not rebut. Case closed. Case dismissed. Holy Spirit wins. They make a very important statement, verse 13. They said they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Friends, people ought to know that you have spent some time with the Lord. You know, when Peter and John went before the Supreme Court and they began to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says that they could tell that they had spent time with Jesus. Friends, in your everyday existence, in your everyday life, people need to know that you know the Lord. People need to know that Christians who are God's representative on this earth, they should know that we have spent a significant amount of time with Jesus. You see, for many of us, if you think about how much we all love athletics, if you have your favorite athletic team and you know, you think about how much you know about that athletic team. You know what they did between the year 1965 and 2011. You know almost every stat of every player. You know the players you like, players you dislike. You know the coaches. You know the strategy, you know the team. And when you're in the barbershop or the beauty salon and somebody asks you about this team during the NBA Finals or the NFL Championship, oh, you can talk all day about it. And you know what? You get excited about talking about it. I was talking to a man the other day in the barbershop and we went on and on and on about the NBA Finals, about the Miami Heat, about the Los Angeles Lakers, about the Dallas Mavericks. And I had been watching SportsCenter, so I knew how to talk about it. But I know for a fact, if somebody would have came up and asked me about Jesus, that I probably could have talked about Jesus Christ with as much enthusiasm as I did about the Dallas Mavericks. Friends, people need to know that we know about Jesus. And it's not that we have to go around quoting scripture all day or acting like we are so holier than thou. But if someone comes up to ask you about your experience of God, you need to be able to express how God has worked in your life. And this is the same thing that happened with Peter and John in the temple. The reason that the Supreme Court cannot say anything to them, because they understood what they were talking about to the people, and because they knew that they had spent some time with this resurrected man called Jesus. And that there was something going on in this community that was so important and so powerful that it could literally change thousands of people's lives. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. Consequently, we see what happens. In Acts chapter 4, the council, they tell Peter and John that they have to go out of the council for a few minutes. They talk about it. And they say, you know what? We've got to find some kind of way to get these cats to stop talking about Jesus. We've got to find some kind of way to get these guys to stop speaking in this name of Jesus Christ. Because it's too powerful. It's causing too much change. It's affecting our way of life. It's causing a disturbance in society. So we need to try to get them to stop talking about Jesus. So what they do is they devise a plan and they try to scare Peter and John. And they walk up with their Supreme Court attire on and they look at them in the face and say, you need to stop speaking about this man called Jesus. You need to stop talking about him. Because he's causing too much of a disturbance in our court. We only listen to the law of Moses. We are the teachers of the law. We are the Sadducees. We own this Sanhedrin court. That's kind of what they said to him. And so Peter and John give a very interesting response in verse 19. Watch what they say. Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. I love verse 20. It says, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They said, look, y'all may want us to speak in the name of somebody else. You may want us to die down the message of Jesus Christ that we have experienced day by day. Y'all may want us to die down or to water down the message of the experience of God that we have had for all these years that Jesus Christ has been on earth. But we cannot help but to speak about what all we have seen and heard. Friends, you know that you are experiencing the totality and the full effect and the full extent of God. When people try to get you to water down the message of Christ, you can't do it. You can't water down the message of Christ because you understand that in your own life, God has just been too good. God has just been too kind. God has just been too faithful. And because of the faithfulness of God, you cannot compromise what you believe. You cannot compromise how you have seen God work in your life. You cannot compromise what you have heard. And you cannot compromise what you have experienced through the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is why I believe that Christianity in our country, in our world today, is in trouble in so many different ways in terms of the institutional church. That is because so many people, so many congregations, so many people who claim that they are Christians are afraid to speak the truth about Christianity. My professor said it best like this. One of my New Testament professors said it best like this. Somebody should know what you believe. You see, religion does have boundaries. Religion has, and we have been given God's word. And through God's word, we understand our conduct in the world. Through God's word, we understand how we are supposed to act and interact within the world. And as Christians, we are to hold steadfast to the word of God that we have professed. And if we don't hold steadfast to the word of God through Jesus Christ, whom we profess, we can't call ourselves Christians. It's as cut and dry as that. And so Peter and John, even as they were facing threats by these Supreme Court justices, as they were facing threats by these leaders in the Sanhedrin, they held fast to the word. And they did not give up what they believed. Friends, there are two things that we need to take from this that are so critical in our everyday walk with Jesus Christ. If you're with me, say amen. If you're with me, say I'm with you. The first thing that we need to take from this is that the experience of God happens in everyday life and is celebrated in community. We experience God on a day-to-day basis. Everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, you experience the power of God. Why? Because you are breathing, you're walking, you're moving around. You experience God in extraordinary ways every day in life. And when we take the experience of God, What we then do is bring that experience back to the church. And we celebrate in our Christian communities. Watch what Paul and Peter and John do here. Verse 23 tells us, on their release, meaning when they got out of prison, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Verse 24, when they heard this, when the people heard this, they raised their voices together in praises to God. They were so excited about what had happened when they found out that Peter and John had stood up to the leaders, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees in the Sanhedrin court. They were excited about it. Because what that proved was that their experience of God became a reality. So that as they were tested, as they were tried, as they were put to the test in a realistic situation, they held on to the faith. And they brought that testimony back to the community. And the community then celebrated. The old church used to have testimonial period in which people tell about what God had done in their life. And testimonial period is simply this: taking the everyday experience that we have of God in the world and bringing it back to the community so that we can celebrate. You ought to have something when you worship at Antioch United Methodist Church. You ought to have something to bring back. Even if it's only the Lord kept me breathing this week. Even if it's only I took 10 steps because I only took 5 last week. If it's I had a report from the doctor and the report came back good. Then you bring that everyday experience from your everyday walk back to the community so we can celebrate this thing. And when we begin to celebrate as community, we cannot sit still. We can't sit in our seats. We can't just remain normal and natural as we've always been. Why? Because we have experienced the Holy Spirit in a new and a fresh way. Not just in our own individual life, but we have experienced the Holy Spirit through our brothers and sisters' lives. And after they have brought the experience back to the community, we all celebrate. We all celebrate about this thing, but that's not the only thing that we have to do. Number two, the experience of God. Hear this. The experience of God in community should be followed by communal action. The experience of the Holy Spirit and God in this place should be followed by a communal action. Meaning when we come to church and worship and celebrate and have a good time, we need to be going outside of the wall and doing some stuff. Watch what happens in verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Watch this. Verse 32. All believers were in one heart. This is the consequence of their communal action. All believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now you tell me that that ain't action. Nobody in the community had any needs. People sacrificed for one another. People prayed for one another. People helped one another out. And it all started with the communal experience of worship. It all started with two men being filled with the Holy Spirit, having an everyday life experience, bringing that experience back into the community and prompting the community to go into action. Friends, this is the epitome of what the church in the 21st century should look like. This is the epitome of what Antioch United Methodist Church has to look like. And if we as a church do not look like this, if our experience of God cannot be only individual as well as communal, and if our experience of God in community does not prompt us to action, we then are not fulfilling our mission. And we are fulfilling our mission and our purpose. Friends, today, this is something that is so awesome for the church to emulate. And it's awesome for the church to emulate because it shows the extent of the experience of God brought from one and two individuals' lives back to the community. There was a joke in closing that I used to tell back in junior high and high school, even up in high school, still tell some today. And I guarantee you that this joke would get somebody at least once. If they got the hang of it, if they got it after I did it again, that's on them, that's on me. But the joke I told at least got them once. And the joke went like this. The joke said, Pete and Repeat went out to a boat. Pete fell out. Who's left? Repeat. Pete and Repeat went out to a boat. Pete fell out. Who's left? Repeat. Pete and Repeat went out to a boat. Pete fell out. And it was so funny when I used to do this, I used to try to stop myself from laughing. But I just couldn't do it because they wouldn't get the hang of it. Every time they said repeat, I would repeat it. Friends, for Christians, for us, God does not want us to have a repeat Christianity. God does not want us to have a repeat experience. You know, Christianity being a routine can just be repeated over and over and over again. But the Holy Spirit in Christian worship, the Holy Spirit in Christian living and life, gives us a fresh and a new experience of God that in many ways has never been experienced by us before. That's why as Christians we can never be afraid of God's Spirit moving. That's why as Christians we can never be afraid of what God is doing through God's Holy Spirit in our lives. We don't need to fight this thing. We don't need to fight this awesome person of the Holy Spirit. But when we allow God's Spirit to impact us as he did Peter and John thousands of years ago, the same God and the same Holy Spirit that did it then is the same God and the same Holy Spirit that's doing it this day. So friends, I encourage you on this day, but I challenge you to experience God, to experience the full extent of God, and to ask God to give you his Holy Spirit, to ask God to empower you day by day, so that you can walk in a fresh and new way through God's Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we honor you this day. We honor you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit might empower us, might renew us, might prompt us to go and to do more and more ministry for you.